2 weeks ago, we started a new series, researched and edited from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, often called the Prince of Preachers. Previously, we explored his words of great encouragement from the Scriptures. Today, part three of God's precious promises. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. God said to Jeremiah, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Here, the living God distinctly promises to answer the prayer of his servant. Let us call upon him again, and have no doubt that he will answer us. He that made the ear, shall he not hear? He that gave parents a love for their children, will he not listen to the cries of his own sons and daughters? God will answer his pleading people. In fact, he has wonders in store for them. What they have never seen, heard of, or dreamed of, he will do for them. He will invent new blessings if needful. He will ransack land and sea to feed them. He will send out every angel out of heaven to help them if their distress requires it. He will astound us with his grace and make us feel that never before was there such a great deliverance. All he asks of us is that we call upon him. Let us cheerfully render him our prayers again and again. And if you are one who sometimes questions if your labor in the Lord has been in vain, or here's a promise for you: cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, it shall return to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. We must not expect to see an immediate reward for all the good we do. The Egyptian casts his seed upon the waters of the Nile, where it might seem a sheer waste. But in due time, the flood subsides, the rice or other grain sinks into the fertile mud, and in due time, a harvest is produced. Let us do good today, even to the unthankful and the evil. Unlikely waters may hide hopeful ground. Nowhere shall our labor in the Lord be in vain. It is our duty to cast our bread upon the waters. It remains with God to fulfill the promise, "It shall return to you." He will not let his promise fail. Someday we shall reap what we have sown. We must exercise our patience, or perhaps the Lord may exercise our patience for us. After many days, says the Scripture. And in many instances, those days run into months and years, and yet the word stands true. God's promise will keep. Let us mind that we keep sowing. Oh, here's a precious promise. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. "I will pour my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Our dear children do not have the Spirit of God by nature, as we can plainly see. We see much in them which makes us fear as to their future, and this drives us to agonizing prayer. Well, this promise should greatly encourage us. Since this is a promise we may go to God with, should we not, at set times and in a distinct manner, pray for our offspring? We cannot give them new hearts, but the Holy Spirit can. The great Father takes pleasure in the prayers of fathers and mothers. Have we any dear ones still outside the ark? Or let us not rest till they are shut in with us by the Lord's own hand. Then there's John chapter 1, verse 50. You shall see greater things than these. We have seen much already. Great things and unsearchable has the Lord showed to us, for which we praise his name. But there are greater truths in his word, greater depths of experience, greater heights of fellowship, greater works of usefulness, greater discoveries of power and love and wisdom. These we are yet to see. If we are willing to believe our Lord, heaven shall be open to us. The way thither shall be made clear to us in the Son of God. And the angelic commerce which goes on between heaven and earth shall be made more manifest to us. Let us keep our eyes open towards spiritual things and expect to see more and more. Let us believe that our lives will not drivel down into nothing, but that we shall always be growing and seeing greater and still greater things till we behold the great God himself and never again lose sight of him. Oh, listen to this verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This verse is not so much a promise as an argument that God will fulfill his promises to us. What can the Lord deny us after giving us Jesus? What do I need today? I have only to ask for it. Of his own, he gave us his own son. And, oh my soul, can you not trust your heavenly Father to give you anything, to give you everything? Now, I particularly like this promise. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Here is a promise for our aged friends. Yes, and for all of us as age creeps over us. When we grow old, our God will still be the I am, abiding evermore the same. Gray hairs tell of our decay, but he decays not. When we cannot carry a burden and can hardly carry ourselves, the Lord will carry us. Even as in our young days he carried us like lambs in his arms, so will he in our years of infirmity. He made us, and he will care for us. When we become a burden to our friends and a burden to ourselves, the Lord will not shake us off, but rather he will take us up and carry and deliver us more fully than ever. Oftentimes we look forward with forebodings to the time of old age, but to many saints, old age is the choicest season in their lives. A more delightful air fans the mariner's cheek as he nears the shore of immortality. Fewer waves ruffle his sea. Quiet reigns, deep and still. Those pilgrims have reached a promised land, a happy country, whose days are as the days of heaven upon earth, angels visit it. Celestial breezes blow over it. Flowers of paradise grow in it. And the air is filled with seraphic music. Some dwell in that land for years, and others come to it but a few hours before their departure. But it is an Eden on earth. We may well look forward to the time when we shall recline in its shady groves and be satisfied with hope until the time of fruition comes. The setting sun seems more glorious than the noonday sky, and the splendor of its beauty fills all the clouds which surround its going down. Even pain does not break the calm of the sweet twilight of life for the believer, for strength made perfect in weakness bears up with patience under it all. Oh, let us grow old graciously, since the Lord himself is with us in the fullness of grace. Ripe fruits of choice experience are gathered in as the rare feast of life's evening, and the soul prepares itself for rest. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.